Good morning, everybody. Chester ARP Church Devotional Podcast. Hey, thanks for joining us. We get started this morning with Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Once Mitch finishes, take care.
Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread.
Good morning, and thank you again for joining us. I'm Clint Davis, your host. Appreciate you joining us this morning as we talk about Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Here we go. Then the man and his wife, that's Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Then he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man replied, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate." So the Lord God asked the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Wow. Boy, that's an interesting conversation, isn't it? Verse 8 says, the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, heard the Lord God walking in the garden at the evening breeze. God's walking around with them. Take this moment and think about the Garden of Eden. Not only was it a place where Adam and Eve had been placed to live, and it was specifically prepared for them, and they had access to every fruit or every tree, the produce of every tree or every plant, to eat in the Garden of Eden, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they had access to any variety of different things, all kind of choices that they wanted. God had specifically made them to go into this garden, made this garden to fit their needs, and then given them the opportunity to serve him in this garden. But then God turns around and walks with them in the garden. So God makes it a habit of walking around in the evening breeze to be with his people, to spend time with them. Remember, God is living in a great relationship. Now, does God have feet? No. Does God make Adam and Eve in his image? Yes. And so he comes in, this is kind of an anthropomorphic idea or understanding of God's interaction and a discussion and a description of God's relationship with his people here. And so God takes on a human form in the text so that he can interact with his people. And so he's there walking with them and talking with them and living in relationship with them. And he calls out to them. He wants to be with them. He wants to see them. He wants to spend time with them. And that's an amazing thing about the creation of the world. God created the world. He created Adam and Eve specifically to love them so that he could have someone with whom to share his love. He created you for the same purpose. He created me for the same purpose so that we could love him and receive his love and love him in return. And so God's out walking with them, and he's talking with them, and he's having a relationship with them, and they're nowhere to be found. And so God calls out to them, "Where are you?" And Adam says, Adam has to own up and answer and says, "Well, we heard you coming, and we were ashamed, and so we hid in the fig trees," or "we hid in the trees and the bushes because we were naked." God says, "Wait a minute, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Now, don't think for a moment God didn't know what had happened. God, of course, knew what happened. He knows what happens in our deepest thoughts. God knows our sin. He knows what happens in our lives. He knows what we do. He knows why we do what we do. He knows everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But God wanted them to answer that question, kind of like a parent challenges his or her child. Right, a mom or a dad will say, "Did you do this?" Knowing good and well the child did it. And he wants the child to own up to it, to confess it, to accept responsibility for the action. And Adam does the opposite. And Eve does the opposite. "Yeah, we ate it, but," Adam says, "she, the woman you made, gave it to me." And then Eve says, "Yeah, but the serpent gave it to me." And so both of them are casting blame. So we see shame early on from sin, but we also see the cast of blame on other people, the deflection of blame onto other people here. Adam says, "God, this is really your fault. If you hadn't made this woman for me, from me, I wouldn't have eaten this fruit. Basically is what Adam says. And Eve says, well, if you hadn't made that serpent, then I wouldn't have eaten this fruit. So it's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. But ultimately, God, it's your fault because you made me be tempted. You made me like this. And you know that. And man, that's a rule. That's a line of logic we use every day and people use all the time. Well, God just made me this way. We think about sexuality. Well, God just made me this way. We think about any number of other sins. Well, this is how God made me. As if we can't overcome the challenges that are put for us, but we've kind of passed the blame onto God. It's not my fault. It's God's fault. If you got a problem with how I live, then you need to take that up with God because he made me. And that's not a good line of logic when it comes to sin. And we don't get to use that to excuse our sins. And that's what Adam and Eve do here. They cast the blame on someone else. But ultimately, God says, no, you've got to take responsibility. Did you eat it? Yes. Now you're going to be cursed. You're going to suffer the consequences of that sin. Every sin has consequences. It might just be guilt and shame within the heart. It might be the destruction of the life you've built. But the reality of it is every sin has consequences. And we've got to recognize that those consequences are there and we're going to have to endure them because we committed the sin. We've got to own it, we've got to confess it, and we've got to bring it before the throne of God. Thankfully, in Jesus, he forgives it to us. He forgives us of it, and we give him praise for that. But we've got to stop casting that blame on others and stop casting that blame on God and start accepting that responsibility, confess the sin, and trust him in his grace to forgive us. And therefore, we will be able to find the hope of the healing from the guilt, the shame, and the consequences in our lives. You guys take care. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. See you soon.
You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow.